Sir Winston Churchill was the Prime Minister of the UK twice, but it's his art that's our focus today. This is the 50th year of his passing. Timothy Riley is painting curator for the National Churchill Museum at Westminster College in Fulton, Missouri. Welcome to Cityscape.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
Nice to meet you. Winston Churchill delivered his famous Iron Curtain speech at Westminster. Was that, I guess, 1946. And many people say that was the beginning, symbolically, I guess, of the Cold War. Are you able to share anything with us about that trip to Fulton?
Yes. Well, I mean, people forget that shortly after VE Day in Europe in 1945, when the Allies were victorious in World War II, there was a general election. And Winston Churchill was not reelected as prime minister. So he was suddenly probably the most visible and widely known man in the world, but without a job. But he received a lot of invitations to speak on the world stage. Most of them he declined, save for one that came from the president of Westminster College saying, "We'd like you to come to Fulton, Missouri, and deliver a speech." The postscript to that letter was signed by Harry Truman, who said, "This is a nice college in my home state. If you come, I will introduce you." And Churchill knew quite savvy he was with his media appearances, knew that if the president of the United States was in Fulton at his side, it would be an address that would be well covered. And he chose to go to Fulton and deliver what was then known as the Sinews of Peace speech, widely known today as the Iron Curtain speech, where Churchill warned that an Iron Curtain was descending upon Europe.
Because of the Soviets.
And essentially called the shot of the Cold War right in Fulton.
Called for unity of Europeans.
Right.
And that sort of thing. And he was close to Harry Truman. I know that as far as Churchill's art, he gave at least one painting to Harry Truman at some point.
Yes, that's true. Churchill reluctantly parted with his paintings, but he did so on occasion. Gave a painting to Roosevelt, the only painting he painted during the war. He later gave one to Truman. Eisenhower also received a painting in the 1950s.
And did the paintings have specific meanings?
You know, each of those presidents received paintings that were depicting one of Churchill's favorite places to paint. That would be Marrakesh. In fact, in the exhibition here, we have two of those paintings. The painting that Churchill presented to Roosevelt was the only painting he painted during the war. It was right after the Casablanca Conference in 1943. And only Churchill could do this. He convinced Roosevelt and the entourage that came with the Prime Minister of Great Britain and the President of the United States to travel from Casablanca overland all the way to Marrakesh so that they could see the sunset on the Atlas Mountains. Mm. Fortunately, Roosevelt said yes. They shared a wonderful moment together. The next day, Roosevelt goes back to the United States, and Churchill says, "Fetch me my paint box." And he painted this beautiful image of the sun setting over the Atlas Mountains with the ancient city of Marrakesh below. It's the only painting he did during World War II, and he presented it to Roosevelt.
Well, the paintings of Sir Winston Churchill is an exhibit now at the Kemper Art Museum at Washington University that you have worked on for some time, I guess for at least the last year?
Yes, that's correct.
Right. How did that come about?
Well, you know, Churchill is a fascinating figure. There's a book that comes out about Churchill almost every week, it seems, and the historical record of Churchill's career is very well documented. But people forget, I think, that he was an avid painter. And there was an idea to do a major exhibition of Churchill paintings in 2015, this being the 50th anniversary of Churchill's death, and introduce the painterly Churchill to the public here in the United States. And I was asked actually to help the project by Edwina Sands, who is Winston Churchill's granddaughter and an accomplished artist in her own right, who remembers watching her grandfather paint and, as she likes to put magic upon the canvas, you know, when she was a little girl. And when she asked me to assist, I gladly said yes.
Mm-hmm. You have said that this exhibit is really significant. Why is that?
Well, Churchill, during his lifetime, did not exhibit his works. He was an amateur painter and took every effort to emphasize that when he spoke about his accomplishments as a painter, and reluctantly exhibited during his lifetime. Churchill paintings exhibitions don't happen very often. And this is significant in large part for that reason, but also for the assemblage of paintings. We've had terrific cooperation from the National Trust at Chartwell, Churchill's family home in Kent, which is now part of the National Trust. They have lent 16 paintings to this exhibition that seldom travel. And probably will not travel again for a long time. So we're bringing together 16 paintings from Chartwell. The Royal Academy in London has lent a very, very important Churchill painting, as well as private collectors in North America. So we're bringing together paintings, you know, from Britain and North America and in a way that really hasn't been done in decades.
Are they all oil paintings?
Yes, yes, all oil paints.
I think there are 47 pieces in this exhibition. What about the collection in Fulton?
The National Churchill Museum in Fulton has in archives many Churchill letters and documents and so forth, and as well as objects. We have several paintings by Churchill and other Churchill family members who were artists as well in the collection in Fulton. And the most notable work in Fulton is the church by Christopher Wren that was bombed in the Blitz and put back together in the late 60s in Fulton.
You say that Churchill was an amateur painter, which he was, but I wouldn't call it amateur work.
No, no. Well, I'm reminded, you know, amateur, you know, the root is means love. Love what you do. And Churchill certainly loved. He had a passion for painting.
Well, my point, too, is that I think because of who he was, his artwork, you know, would have been interesting today no matter what it looked like. But, I mean, it stands on its own, technically, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, when people are in the galleries here, I hear it over and over again. The first words out of their mouth, "I didn't know he could paint." And then there's kind of a pregnant pause. And then someone invariably says, "And he wasn't that bad." and it's true. I mean, he was quite accomplished.
Yeah, I love the colors that he uses. Now, he didn't start until I think he was 40 years old. Why and how did that begin? I mean, that's a late age to take up a new hobby.
Well, you know, you're right. He was a late bloomer as far as painting was concerned. There's really no evidence as a child that Churchill, you know, was interested in the arts in any way. He liked to play with lead soldiers and really launched his military career. But and it was a successful military career. We forget. We think of Churchill as the great World War II war leader, but he was actively involved in World War I. And he was the first Lord of the Admiralty in charge of the British Navy. And saw in his prescient way the terrible warfare in the trenches in 1915 and had a very bold, very Churchillian bold move to design a campaign in Gallipoli to take the Ottoman Turkish Empire out of the war and really come in from the east, relieving pressure on the stalemate in the trenches. And he wanted the British fleet to lead the charge and army to come in at Gallipoli. Well, that battle, while a bold plan, failed miserably. And a quarter of a million Allied soldiers and seamen lost their lives. An equivalent number of the enemy forces also died. And Churchill was forced to resign his post as First Lord of the Admiralty in this great, great defeat. And he was taken aback by it. I mean, that's to put it mildly. Friends, family, you know, saw him as kind of a politically failed, a militarily failed man, and he was quite despondent and depressed. And he was in 1915 in a beautiful late spring, early summer day at Hove Farm in Surrey. He was sharing a house with his sister-in-law who said, "Why don't you try painting? Here's some brushes." And Churchill, rather timidly, to escape this very dark moment in his life, began to put very bright colors on a canvas. And he found that painting lifted him out of this despair. And really, he never turned back. And from 1915, 100 years ago this year, through the end of his career, he continued to paint.
Are you implying that maybe he was using pain as a way to deal with something like depression?
Absolutely. Churchill called his kind of mild form of situational depression, famously the black dog. Mm-hmm. And he quite clearly tells us, in his writings about painting later in his career that, painting did help him a great deal to alleviate that. And from time and again, after he was, not reelected after the Second World War, what did he do first? He went to paint. And it's a good lesson for all of us, I think.
We're talking to Tim Riley about the paintings of Sir Winston Churchill, which is an exhibition up through February 14th at the Mildred Lane Kemper Art Museum at Washington University. So what was the process like you said you compiled the work at this exhibition from other collections, from private collections as well. Was that an easy thing to do?
Well, Churchill painted over 530 canvases during his lifetime, so we had a lot to choose from, at least in theory. Though, because of his career, painting was not his primary vocation by any means. He was very, very accomplished on many occasions, and I think like all of us, had his days where some of the paintings were not as good as he might have liked. So we tried to choose at least for this exhibition the very best Churchill paintings.
I just chose one. Maybe we could talk about, and that's Beach at Walmer.
Right.
And that was painted in 1938. And it's interesting to me. It's a beach scene, and you're looking out at the water, and out in the water you see people enjoying themselves, out swimming, whatever they're doing. And then on the beach, facing away from your point of view, is a cannon that must have been there to protect the shore at one point. So maybe what can we read into that? It looks like there are people going about their everyday life, but the whole time there's a threat of maybe military conflict that's in the same picture.
Yeah, the painting you've picked is a terrific one, though unusual. It's one of the very few paintings that mixes painting and politics for Churchill. The Beach at Walmer was painted in 1938 at a time when Churchill was a member of parliament but out of ministerial office, often called his wilderness years. And he was a lone, virtual lone voice in Britain warning his countrymen of the looming Nazi threat on the continent. And in 1938, he does a very famous broadcast to America saying, "We must arm." And, the ministers didn't really listen. They wanted to appease Hitler and avoid conflict. The memory of the Great War, First World War, was still fresh in everyone's mind. But Churchill, again, with his kind of prescience, knew that the Nazis would be a formidable foe. So this painting, right around the time of the Munich Agreement, when Prime Minister Chamberlain helped to sign over a part of Czechoslovakia to the Germans and make peace with the Germans to avoid any type of looming threat, Churchill paints this painting, a family bathing in the surf off the English south coast, and he plunks down in the foreground a Napoleonic-era cannon. This is his equivalent of saying, "We must arm. We must be vigilant." While the family enjoys the surf looking across the English Channel. War had not yet started, mm-hmm. But it was looming, and this is Churchill clearly warning of this. Now, recent research has indicated that the family in the surf there, the small figure with the little bald head and two little red tufts of hair, is actually Winston Churchill himself.
Is that right? It's interesting work, and the colors really jump out to me. The Paintings of Sir Winston Churchill. The exhibition runs through February 14th at the Mildred Lane Kemper Art Museum at Washington University. If you'd like more information, go to stlpublicradio.org/cityscape, and we'll have links and information there. I want to mention there is no admission charge.
Correct.
And this reflects something like 5 decades of his work. Did he paint up to the end?
Nearly the end. He stopped painting around 1960. His health was such that he really couldn't paint after that. But from 1915 through the late 50s.
And in addition to the paintings, there are some other items of his that are part of the exhibition.
Well, you know, the most notable is his one sculpture. Churchill was only known to do one sculpture in his lifetime, and it's included. It's never been exhibited before publicly. So we're quite pleased to have that. And for a first effort, which he did in 1954, 55, it's a very, very good sculpture.
And I think there's an easel and maybe some personal things.
Yes. Churchill's travel easel. We know, in fact, that when Churchill came to Fulton in 1946, he stopped in Miami for 6 weeks before coming to Missouri and painted. And worked on the Iron Curtain speech, he had that easel with him. And there's a wonderful painting of the Miami Beach that was done on that easel.
Finally, you mentioned Churchill's granddaughter, one of his granddaughters, and are you currently writing a book with her? Is that finished?
Edwina Sands, Churchill's granddaughter, who is an accomplished artist in her own right, is writing a book, and I'm helping along the way. She has some terrific insights on her grandfather's work. Again, as a little girl, she was the one who witnessed him paint and inspired her to become an artist. So that book will be out in December.
The exhibition at the Kemper, The Paintings of Sir Winston Churchill. Timothy Riley has been our guest. He's the painting curator at Westminster College in Fulton, Missouri, and he's been part of putting this exhibition together. Tim Riley, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.